Hello guys, and welcome to the Lean with Plants podcast. I'm Chelsea, former overweight, healthy vegan, confused about why I couldn't look like my favorite plant-based influencers, even though I was chugging back green smoothies every day. After a decade of unsustainable vegan diets, I learned the truth about weight loss, lost 40 pounds, and now I'm in the best shape of my life, even after two kids. Girl, if you've been struggling to drop the pounds as a vegan, stuck in a cycle of self-sabotage, sick of yo-yo dieting and going hungry, never being able to get and stay lean, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I share the no BS truth about why vegan women are overweight, the action steps to get you shedding fat, and the mindset you'll need to get slim for life. I'm stoked to have you here. Let's get started. Hello, my friend. Welcome back to another episode of Lean with Plants. So we're going to be talking about a plateau today. Oh my goodness, the amount of pain that plateaus cause us. We're going to be talking about exactly what a plateau is, what it isn't, and talk a little bit about how to know when you genuinely stop losing weight, know if you're in a genuine plateau, and then why it's normal, why it happens to everyone, but most importantly, how to get that weight loss moving again. And I get the impression sometimes that people think that a plateau, when it happens to you, is something that is really bad, that it's dangerous, it means that your metabolism is broken, and it's like this big scary thing. In reality, everyone is going to experience a plateau at some point. I feel like I'm saying this word plateau so much, and I've never said it so much in my life. It's kind of weird. It's really frustrating, and a lot of people stay stalled in a plateau forever and then throw in the towel because as much as they're trying, they're not seeing weight loss happen again. So when you understand why a plateau happens and then you actually have a really effective strategy for breaking it and you're actually anticipating that it's going to happen to you, you see that as normal, then you're going to easily start losing weight again. So before we get really deep into this episode, I want to talk to you about something that is going to help you understand this concept a little bit more. And also, really anything that I talk about on the podcast or on my Instagram, and hopefully help you to understand when other people give you advice about weight loss as well. And that is this, that when you're asking a question about weight loss, like how do I get out of a plateau or why does a plateau happen? You have to understand. And if you can get this, you're going to be ahead of 99% of people that I talk to and 99% of people who are continually confused and going from diet to diet. There are so many variables that come into the answer that you want. So if you're asking, why am I stuck in a plateau? There is a lot of reasons that that could be the case. Same with why am I not losing weight eating 1,000 calories a day? I truly believe that we are conditioned because of social media to expect simple, easy, searchable, watching 3 minutes on a YouTube video answers to complex questions. It's like if we were to ask, well, why is my kid failing at school? And then the teacher just says to you, your kid is dumb. There's a lot of factors at play. What if your kid is not even going to school? What if they're skipping out and they don't even make it to class? It's not that they're dumb, it's just they're not there, all right? What if your kid can't hear? What if it turns out that they have a hearing issue and they're struggling because they can't actually hear what the teacher is saying? What happens if your kid is actually incredibly smart and they find everything that's being taught to them so boring, so they don't even put any effort? And this is a really, really common thing that I see. People will ask me, why can't I XYZ? Why is this happening? And it's like, hang on a minute, what's your consistency like? What's your home life like? You're saying, well, why do I keep binging? That could be that you are not eating enough in the morning. That could be that you are eating enough, but you're not eating enough fiber so that you're not full hours later. That could be because that food is just triggering to you and you've got it lying around in your house. So the strategy for you is to get it out of your house. It could be so, so many things. So I really want to encourage you from this point onwards, expect that there are variables. Expect that there is not normally a simple answer to your question. And this is why I believe it is so incredibly vital that you understand and you're able to know the reasons for your own struggles, that you learn about the core concepts that relate to weight loss so that you can look at your own situation. You can go, hey, this is why I'm struggling. And now this is the strategy that I pick to actually deal with this. There is not a one size fits all program. There is not a one size fits all answer to your problems. All right. Thank you for coming to my TED talk. If you can take this on, I just really think it's going to help you a lot because I see a lot of simple, one word, easy, quick, just do this answers. And it's just not that simple. So if you can train yourself and you can accept that, then you're going to start asking better questions and you're going to have a better strategy. I needed to get that off my chest because this is going to be one of those episodes as well. I cannot give you every single possible variable for why you might be in a plateau, but I'm going to give you some tools that will hopefully help you understand what is the most likely reason that you are. So why do people experience a plateau? One of the reasons is because as you lose weight, you simply become a smaller person. All right. So as you get closer to your goal weight, you do not need as many calories as you did when you were a bigger person. Picture, if you will, someone walking around with a 20-pound sack of potatoes strapped to their back. Okay, that's a lot of effort to walk around. That's a lot of effort to go and jump on the trampoline with your kids. Everything that you do, imagine that pressing on your chest as you sleep. You're just expending a lot more energy when you are bigger. So when you take off that 20 pounds of potatoes, okay, it's fat now. Taking off that 20 pounds of fat that you've lost, you've become a more efficient person. You've become a smaller person. And fitness people hate this analogy because it is pretty simple, but it does explain it well. If you think of yourself as a bigger person, or if you've got a lot of weight to lose, that's like a bigger vehicle. It simply needs more fuel. Okay, you need more calories because you expend more calories. You've got a higher energy burn. As you are smaller, you do not need that. You are more efficient because there's less of you. You're just a small little Mazda Demio. So you can imagine at the start of your weight loss journey, let's say you cut 500 calories from your diet, and you don't have to count these calories. I've talked about this a lot, and this is what we teach you to do in Lean with Plants, my program. But let's say you're eating in a 500 calorie deficit. So you could be eating exactly the same, but if you've lost 20 pounds, that's no longer a 500 calorie deficit. That might only be a 100 calorie deficit because you're just not using as much energy anymore. So it's very normal and it's expected that weight loss slows as you lose weight. So as it slows, eventually it's most likely going to halt, and now you're in a plateau because you're not in a calorie deficit anymore. Another thing that can happen is you actually start moving less. So, and this is a reason that it's, I believe, super important to not eat too little calories, because it has a lot of negative consequences. One of them being that you actually end up eating more calories than you intend because you go on a binge and you just go off plan all the time. But the other thing that can happen is that you just move less. So you have less energy. So when you're in a calorie deficit, you are going to be trying to compensate. Your body is going to try and compensate anyway by really compelling you to move a little bit less. So even though you may have reduced your calories, if your movement has also reduced, then you might not be in a calorie deficit. So even though it feels really difficult, And you've cut calories from your diet and you're eating more vegetables or you're following some kind of program, then if you're moving a whole lot less, you've actually cancelled that out and you're not in a calorie deficit at all. So that can be another really common reason for a plateau as well, that even though you've changed a lot of things in your diet, you've now kind of cancelled that out because your movement has just decreased as well at the same level. And that's really scary. So it's not just about the calories coming into your body. Like, that has the most amount of effect, because it's something that is 100% within your control and you can vary that between zero calories and tens of thousands of calories a day. You cannot do that with your movement. You cannot do that with the amount of calories that you expend, but you do have influence over hundreds of calories in your movement simply by fidgeting more, moving around more, like riding a bike to work, walking around more, all these kind of things. And it is really, really normal for your body to try and compensate for being in a calorie deficit by getting you to move less. Another really common reason for getting into a plateau is that your lifestyle just changes. So you might start your diet eating one way and you're pretty strict with that, and then over time you just gradually start adding a few more calories here and there. That could be in having a few more coffees or a few more drinks that have like extra calories in them. It could be just being a bit more free on the weekends and going out and eating out a little bit more, or having some glasses of alcohol that you wouldn't normally have. Whatever it is, you can have a subtle lifestyle shift that then causes you to be having more calories than you were originally. So you think that you're doing the same thing, but in actuality, you're not. So all of these things that I've mentioned are going to affect you when you are genuinely in a plateau. Your weight loss, or I should say your fat loss, has genuinely stalled. But sometimes what can happen is that it looks like your fat loss has stalled, but it's just that your weight is staying the same and you've got something else that is compensating for that on the scales. So what I mean by that is, what we want to do here is we want to get you burning fat, all right? And that's what a calorie deficit does, because it forces your body to dip into those stored fat cells. But if you're having a lot more sodium in your diet, all right, you had like a miso soup and a salty soy saucy sushi bowl the night before, or you've been eating like slightly more carbohydrates than what you normally would, another car chase going on, you guys should be used to this by now, then you're going to have more water retention, all right? And this could be something that happens around your period as well. So you could still be losing fat. You could still be losing fat in a small amount of fat per week. But if you've got something that is compensating for that, then you might notice no change on the scales. So this is where it's really important that before you actually go and change anything, if you're already struggling to stick to what you're doing, don't change anything until you know that you are in a genuine plateau, all right? So you want to give it 2 to 3 weeks of no weight change before you actually know that your fat loss is stalled, not just something else. And then also take more than one way of measuring whether you are losing fat or not. So not just the scales. That could be taking measurements. It could be looking how your clothes are fitting. It could be taking progress photos. Because if the scales aren't moving and your clothes are literally falling off you, and your measurements are getting smaller and smaller, you're not in a fat loss plateau, are you? You just got something compensating for that on the scales. So the scales is not the only way to measure progress. And remember as well that as you get closer to your goal weight, your weight loss is going to slow down. So expect that period of waiting to see whether you're in a plateau to actually get longer as you go along. If you've only got 5 pounds to lose, you should expect that is going to happen really slow anyway. expect that, I mean, be happy if you lose 1 pound a month at that stage. So to know whether you've lost 1 pound or not, you're going to have to give it probably 3-4 weeks before you actually genuinely change something. And because that gets harder to change, because you've got less things you can change at those later stages, you definitely want to give it that good chunk of time before you start tweaking and changing anything. Because as you start to tweak and change your diet, if you are making it more and more difficult for yourself to stick with, you can be taking one step forward and two steps back, because now you can't actually even maintain because you've made it too difficult. If you are making it more likely for yourself to binge, that is not an effective strategy, okay? So give it a little bit of time. So generally when we talk about a plateau, we think of that in terms of calories, and it is, okay? It's that you are no longer eating in a calorie deficit. So you're no longer burning fat. You're maintaining your weight now. While that is about calories in versus calories out, the factor that influences whether you are in a calorie deficit or not is your behavior. So a plateau and you stalling, that is a behavioral plateau. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. So before I started my job working in a cafe, which I started about 2 years ago now, I had been in a plateau for a little while, okay? So what I was doing, I'd reached a point where I'd started off with a big calorie deficit, and then I'd lost 20 pounds over the course of a year and a half. So that big calorie deficit, because I'd now become a smaller person, as I was losing weight, that was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking until it was no longer there. I'd also increase the amount of processed foods. I was eating a little bit more processed food. I was being a bit more free on the weekends. And so I was in this behavioral plateau. My behavior through and my lifestyle was meaning that I wasn't in a calorie deficit anymore. And then I started working at a cafe. And so I went from being able to eat whenever I want, snack whenever I felt like it at home, to packing a lunch to go with me to work and having a breakfast break at 8 o'clock in the morning and then having a lunch break at 2 p.m. and one coffee in between. Okay, so instantly I'm not snacking now. I was also quite stressed at that job, and by the time 2 p.m. rolled around, even though I was hungry, a lot of the time I wouldn't really want to eat. And then I would get home and I would want to go to the gym. So I would go from, and then I'd come home from the gym and I'd have a little bit of something to eat before dinner, and then I would have a big dinner. So I went from having as many snacks as I wanted to basically having none. And so I eliminated all the calories from snacks, right? Just because my environment and my behavior is different. And then the kind of things that I was packing for lunch, because I didn't want to be bothered with much, I would just make a huge container of overnight oats, and then I would split that over my lunch and or my breakfast and my lunch. And that wasn't a lot of calories. Like that was probably like 700 calories or 800 calories all up. And I just didn't want to eat a large volume of food when I was sitting in my 20-minute lunch break. So what changed there? I started losing weight pretty quickly after I started working at this job. And it was because my behavior had now changed because my environment had changed, and that meant that my calories changed. So I want you to think about it in this way, because most of the time when people think about a plateau, they're thinking that that's something that's shifted in their body. They're thinking that their metabolism has slowed down. So think about and understand how your behavior is going to influence the amount of calories coming into your body and also the amount of calories going out of your body, rather than something that is just kind of mystical and magical happening inside of you to do with metabolic adaptation and just the amount of calories that you need gets less. See that this is something that is much, much more influenced by your behavior. So when you're looking at how do I get out of a plateau, what you're really asking is how can I change my behavior to most effectively influence the amount of calories that I am consuming on an overall basis, not just in my day-to-day meals, and also the calories that I'm expending. And that has to do with how much you're eating and how much energy you have and how you're moving and all of that stuff. So you've probably heard me talk about tweaking your diet. And so this is where when you reach a plateau, or you try something, say you've tried the starch solution and you haven't actually lost weight or you're doing everything right, that's where you're going to need to tweak. So tweaking is all about changing little things that are most likely going to reduce your calories so that you can get into a calorie deficit, and then giving that a little bit of time, testing and measuring that and saying, okay, am I losing weight? Am I not? And then making other little changes. So most of the time, when people reach a plateau, they're looking at, well, how can I reduce my calories more so I can get into a calorie deficit again? And the first thing that people want to do is change their meals. They want to increase the amount of vegetables that they're eating. They want to eat less potatoes. They want to see, well, how do I actually eat a lower calorie meal? And I just want to tell you right now, for most people, that is not the place to start. And this comes into it again. Give yourself 2 to 3 weeks before you change anything, because as soon as you start tweaking something on your plate, that makes your life harder. It really, really does. So there is no point changing that unless you absolutely have to, because you are going to shoot yourself in the foot. So I didn't really have to tweak my diet at all to lose like the last 5 to 10 pounds, because I was already in a pretty big calorie deficit from where I started. So I started in a pretty big calorie deficit when I first changed my diet from how I was eating. And then I pretty much maintained that, or mostly maintained that. And then, so my weight loss definitely slowed as it became less and less of a calorie deficit. But I got well within the range that I am now, without really tweaking or changing anything. I did have to tweak and change things to lose the last 2 to 3 pounds. That's a whole different story. And if I was going to lose more weight and get like super lean now, I'd have to do that. But that's actually really, really different. I did a podcast episode with Cassie, who is now one of the coaches in Lean with Plants. And she has lost about 40 pounds. And she didn't really have to tweak or change much. She lost weight really quickly because she must have been, obviously, because she lost weight quickly, in a big, big calorie deficit to start with. So the bigger your calorie deficit is to start with, and that has to do with your starting point, the quicker you're going to lose weight and the less likely you're going to need to tweak things further along. And that is, it's not negative, it's not positive, it just depends on you and your specific situation. But you do not want to be making tweaks that are going to be difficult for you to maintain. You're in this for the long haul. You want to get lean for life. So you actually have to do something that you can stick to. So when you are in a plateau, you've got 3 main strategies that you can implement, and use a combination of these depending on what your situation is and what you think is going to help you get consistent and actually do this for the long haul. So the first thing to look at when you're in a plateau is, it's kind of like looking at your budget and looking at your monthly expenses, which makes me sound really adult and makes me sound like I do it. I don't. We have a different kind of system for keeping us on track. But you got to see where the leaks in your expenses are. All right. So if you're looking and you're like, whoa, I'm actually spending a lot more money than I want to, you look at those big expenses first. You stop up the big holes before you go to the little tiny chump change that doesn't make a big difference. There is no point looking at your food budget and scrimping and saving on your food budget by not buying any vegetables or not having enough to eat if you are going out every single week and buying new skateboards. Like, I wish that was me. I wish I was buying new skate. I mean, I don't. But do you see what I mean? If you are making huge purchases, stop those huge frivolous purchases first before you do something that is going to be genuinely hard in your day-to-day life. Like, you not having enough to buy food is going to make your life hell, okay? And it's the same with calories. Don't go and tweak your meals. Don't go and cut out a potato. Don't go and go from half a cup of oats to a quarter cup of oats. If you are going and having a binge every weekend, stop up your binges first. Get more consistent first before you ever start looking at your day-to-day meals. Okay, so this is going to be really relevant if your consistency is not on. If your consistency is really good, then you might have to start tweaking. But again, you've got to be thinking about, how do I work smarter rather than harder? How do I make this easier for myself? Do the easiest to stop up holes first. Do the things that are going to have the biggest impact for the least amount of effort to your day-to-day life first. So you've probably heard the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which basically means don't throw something valuable out at the same time that you are getting rid of something that's not valuable. So don't try and tweak your diet to try and get more into a calorie deficit if that is going to make you binge more. Okay, get your binges under control, get your consistency under control, because that is going to lower your overall calories. And I thought that this was really an interesting saying, so we're going to do a little bit of a history lesson. So apparently the idea for the saying comes from an email that just lives on, and it's called Life in the 1500s. So in this email that circulates the internet, it talks about in medieval times, people shared bathwater, and by the time that the baby was washed, because the baby would get washed last, the bath was so murky that the baby was in danger of being chucked out with the bathwater. So this is actually complete BS. This is not what happened, but it's funny because there is an illustration of this happening that came from a book that a guy did write in the 1500s in Germany. And it was a really common German saying at the time. And I couldn't find out exactly why. But I mean, it means what I said. It means don't throw out something valuable with something invaluable. But it's just so funny because this stupid email that circulates around and convinces people that this is what happens in medieval times, like this was a real thing. Anyway, so first and foremost, when you are in a plateau, look at your consistency and get realistic about those high calorie processed foods. Think of this like stopping up those big leaks in your expenses. This is the big leaks in your calorie expenses. Those are going to be high processed, high junk foods, things like oil. They are going to add up in calories really, really quickly, even if they're only occasional splurges, even if that's only once or twice a week or a few snacks in here and there after dinner. So if you're eating well most of the time and then you have like this bingey weekend or you're drinking a whole lot of alcohol, you have to look at those areas first. So in Lean of Plants, we have an app called the U8 app. We recommend people to use it, and it helps you get a clear idea of your consistency. So you can go and search U8 and download this app. It just allows you to take a picture of your meals and then put in a goal for whether they're like what you want to achieve. So we always tell people aim for 80% consistency with the Lean of Plants guidelines, and then you get to choose when you take a picture of your meal whether it's on plan or whether it's off plan, and then it's going to tell you as a percentage how many of your meals are on plan and how many aren't. So when you're looking at your consistency, and you don't have to do it this way, you could do it with a calendar, but I challenge you that your consistency probably isn't as good as you think it is. You want to get your consistency to about 80% throughout the month. So that's about 25 days completely on plan, or about 74 meals out of about 93 meals if you're having 3 meals a day. So this is not a formula that guarantees success. The only formula that guarantees success is that you are in a consistent calorie deficit. But this is a good starting point where you actually get realistic that if you are not at 80, 90, 95% consistency with your diet, you have no business tweaking your everyday meals. So the second strategy is reducing the calories in your day-to-day meals. If your consistency is over 80, 90% and you realistically are super consistent, then it's time to look at, well, are my meals just genuinely too high in calories for me to get into a calorie deficit? So that's where you look at how do you decrease the calorie density of your foods. And if you want to know more about calorie density, go and have a look at some of the other episodes where I talk about what calorie density is. But basically there, you're wanting to increase the lower calorie density foods, and you're also wanting to swap out a few things so that there are less calories absorbed. So for instance, whole grains, intact grains, they're going to have less calories absorbed than grains that are refined or ones that have been broken down a bit, because your intestines are only going to absorb calories from the food that they actually come in contact with. So if you've got a whole grain and you've chewed that up and it's not in tiny, tiny particles because you can only get it so small from chewing, then you're not going to absorb all of that. You're actually going to poop out some of those calories. So simply by switching to intact grains, think oat groats versus like oat bran, for example, or brown rice versus white rice. Simply by doing that, you can reduce the amount of calories that are absorbed. So it's not just about reducing the actual amount of food that you're eating. I would caution that this is almost never an effective strategy because it will lead to binging. So if you want to learn more about that, I definitely recommend going back and listening to some of the podcast episodes that I've talked about it. And also, of course, we teach this in Lean with Plants. So get your butt onto the waiting list so you can learn how to do that when the course opens up again. And then the third strategy is increasing your NEAT. So actually intentionally moving more. This is not necessarily exercise. Exercise tends to make you hungrier and it also tends to make you move less. So it can kind of cancel out the effect, and it does, right? You can go listen to a podcast episode I did about that. It does cancel out the effect of the extra calories that you burn. But movement, and I've done a podcast episode about this as well, go and listen to that, all about this NEAT fat loss hack. NEAT increases the amount of calories that you're burning because you're just moving more. And this adds up in little things throughout the day. So this could be talking on the phone and walking around while you do it. It could be getting a stand-up desk. It could be parking further away from your work, taking the stairs versus the elevator. They're all little things that mean that you don't actually have to tweak anything in your diet because you're just burning more calories. So you're more likely to get into a calorie deficit. So you can use a combination of these strategies. The one that I would always recommend to do first is look at your consistency. Increase your movement at the same time as your consistency is also a good strategy. And then as a last resort, when you are already like super consistent, look at tweaking your meals. But do that with caution. Do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. All right. Okay. So I just wanted to read a few little testimonies of people that have been able to put this into practice in Lean with Plants. So this one here says, thrilled with 3+ pounds lost this month. I love the steady downward trend in my weight, all while loving the food and getting to eat to satiety, which is eating as much as you want. Over 50 pounds lost since January, that was last year, converting to a whole food plant-based diet. Then discovered Chelsea, joined Lean with Plants in June and learned the importance of habits and consistency, which helped me break through weeks of a plateau. So grateful for this program. I know this weight loss I can maintain for life. I still have 10 to 15 more to go, which I know will be slow, but excited about this journey. And you can see there, that was from Robin, who I did a podcast episode with. And just because she changed her focus to habits and consistency, she was able to break that plateau. And then this story from Stephanie, she said, "You guys, testimonials, I finally had a breakthrough in that awful road for the last 10 pounds. I finally got the first pounds off 9 weeks after starting here. So I have 5 pounds left, but I'm just going to see how I look. And if I like how I look losing 3 more pounds, then so be it. I just went back to basics and thought of what Chelsea Cullen says. Tweak for you. If you're not losing for weeks, you're not in a calorie deficit. Work smart, not hard." And I did. I tweaked and I moved things. I'm always full, eating my favorite foods. I'm just so glad to feel in control. I'm still working on eating slow, but this is a big, big win for me. I just thought that was really, really cool, really, really encouraging. It's definitely possible to break the plateau, even if you've been struggling for that for weeks or for months. So just to recap what we talked about today, first of all, assess whether you are in a genuine plateau or not, and that's by taking multiple ways of measuring your progress and also giving it 2 to 3 weeks or even longer if you're in the last stages of weight loss. And then get really clear on how your consistency is. So you want to get your consistency to 80-90% before trying to tweak your day-to-day meals. And then lastly, be patient as you're losing the last few pounds, because it's very, very normal for weight loss to slow down as you get closer and closer to your goal weight. So even if you still have 20, 30 pounds to lose, it's still normal that will have slowed down from when you had, say, 100 pounds to lose. So it's a similar strategy. It's just that a different amount of weight that you have to lose. So I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I didn't do anything super weird or kooky, and that's okay. You guys can forgive me for that. It's been a bit of a long one. I'll talk to you guys next week. And don't forget, you can hop on the waitlist for Lean with Plants when it opens again in another few months. We're seeing absolutely phenomenal results for our members. And if you are struggling with weight loss and you want to lose weight for good, then get on the waitlist, because this is going to show you exactly how to do that step by step. See you soon. Bye.